First Kings chapter 2 in your Bibles this morning. First Kings chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. The old is going out and the new is coming in. Now verse 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and the kingdom was established greatly. At the beginning of a new year, the story of Solomon is both compelling and significant. I want you to follow with me as we observe four areas of Solomon's life. First of all, Solomon the man. He was the 10th son of David. He was the second son of Bathsheba. His name comes from the beautiful word shalom. Solomon was the most brilliant man that ever lived. He was king of Israel for 40 years. He was a master builder. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. He was skilled in botany and biology. He wrote several books of the Bible. When the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon and his reign, she was astounded at the brilliance and the attitude and the character of his rule. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10 and get just a peek at that. 1 Kings chapter 10 and then verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. If I was Solomon, I would have preferred one more talent of gold simply because it was 666 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. Please allow the Lord to impress upon your mind what this throne looked like. and he overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round about, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays, and 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other, upon the six steps, there was not like the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and of the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Second of all, a part of his brilliance was reflected in the building that he built for the worship of Jehovah God. The location was on Mount Moriah within the city walls of Jerusalem. 1,100 years earlier, an old rancher named Abraham walked away from the place with Isaac, his son, repeating over and over, Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. 480 years after the Exodus and 4 years after his reign started, he began the 7.5-year construction of the temple of God. Nothing but the best would be good enough for God's house. Estimates range up to $50 billion in current value, not counting inflation today. The nails were of gold. Cedar and cypress were overlaid with pure gold. It was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, 45 feet high. The first thing that you would see was an altar of brass, which gave mute testimony that God must be approached by sacrifice and the shedding of blood. Ladies and gentlemen, when we pray, we have access to God because of the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for us, and we can pray directly to him. The next thing you would see was a laver of water, which signified cleansing and purity. It was overlaid with brass. And then as you would enter the temple, there would be golden candlesticks. Within the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant would be there. The entire project was built in silence to honor God. 9 months after the completion, the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple on staves. Solomon mounted a platform 7 by 7, and he spoke. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 1. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And then, third, Solomon dedicated the building for six purposes. First of all, It was a place to honor God, to honor His power and His love and His holiness. And ladies and gentlemen, certainly this is not a temple, but this is a house of God. And when we come in to the house of God, we come in to honor God the same way. We honor His power and His love and His holiness with everything that we do in this house. Second of all, it was a place to honor God's word. Go with me now to verse 17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. It was a place to honor God's word. Paul told young Timothy, he told him to preach the word. That is, verify the word as was said here. I want you to hold your place, and I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How important is us honoring the word of God when we come into His house? How important is that? Let's begin reading in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Look at verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How important is the word of God? Folks, it is our only hope. It's by the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save them that believed. And we fall into that, and we are so very thankful for the preaching of the word of God that somebody did to us when we got saved. Third, it was a place to honor prayer. Look at verses 19 and 20. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. The first thing that we do every Sunday morning at the beginning of this day, we have a group of men that meets in the room back here, and we get together and we pray. And I love to hear the men of the church pray. They thank God for their families. They thank God for this church. They thank God for living in America. It is a wonderful time when we get together and honor prayer every Sunday morning. Fourth, it was a place for man to find repentance for sin. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of the people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. The heaviest burden that any one of us will ever bear is the burden of sin in our lives. But thank goodness, there is a place that we can come to and be assured of that this is a place of repentance where people can find eternal life. Fifth, it was a place for righteousness in living. Look at verse 31. That they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. I have settled it a long time ago, and I understand a church cannot control its people. That's not what we are supposed to do. I want you to hold your place and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what we should be doing, not trying to control anyone, but doing this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Paul said, not for that we have domination over your faith. We have no desire to have domination over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And ladies and gentlemen, that is so very true for us. We are here to bring you under the authority of the Word of God so that you allow this sole rule of faith and practice that we preach. Let the Bible rule you. And sixth, it was a place to honor missions. Look at verse 32 and verse 33. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but has come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house have I built is called by thy name. Ladies and gentlemen, that's missions. We have 35 missions projects that we support on a monthly basis. We have a given amount every month, except for last month. We always give our mission projects a Christmas offering. And then if I get word from one of them that they need some extra money for missions, we will try our best to support that. It is a good thing for us to do. Now, let's skip down to verse 40. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord's God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let the saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, Turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Ladies and gentlemen, that beautiful building that Solomon built for the glory of God was nothing without the approval of God. It was like a body without a soul. It was hollow and empty. Solomon and the people stood expectantly before God. And here's what happened last of all. Chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. The glory of God could only fill the house when the people had dedicated themselves and the building for those six purposes. It's our desire that God's glory fill this house this morning, not in the same way with the Shekinah glory of God, but with His presence in this house. And that will only happen when we dedicate ourselves to serve God and to love God and to obey God. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a day of dedication, what will you dedicate to God this morning? Father, what a joy to hear about your wonderful power, your glory, and your majesty when the people did what they should do and your glory filled that place. And dear Father, we want your presence to fill this place this morning as we dedicate ourselves to Thee. So, Father, please speak to our hearts. If there's someone here that's never been saved, dear Father, we would love to be able to show them from Your Word how to go to heaven. Oh, Father, thank You for this time together. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not saved, come to Christ this morning. And if you are saved, come closer than you've ever been, because the time demands our very best on the field of battle. When we leave this building, we need to be at our very best in the battle for men's souls. So as we are led by Rick in a song, an invitation song, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, listen to Him and obey Him. Kneel at this old-fashioned altar as we sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy. Save you, He will save.
hope that you'll take time to go next door and get yourself a cinnamon roll. They're awfully good. And then if you want to eat it there, of course, we have some tables set up. You can eat it there. If you'd rather have your lunch and then go home and eat a cinnamon roll, that's just entirely up to you. Father, we love you. How very thankful we are for your goodness and for your grace, for this time together where we can sing the old songs of Zion. We can fellowship with like-minded people. We can come and we can dedicate ourselves to serve you better than